This Sunday, I want to share a talk that I've called What Not to Do After the Storm. And there are stories in John chapter 21 that you can read through them. This is verses 2 and 3. And then the second story comes out of the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Again, I'm not going to necessarily read all of that, but I do want you to have those available. So anyway, we hope that you are doing well, that you are making the best and the most out of this situation that we are in. I know that some folks are really getting antsy, but at this point, it's best for you and best for everyone in your circle, in your world, that we all abide by the restrictions that have been put in place. And however long it takes, may God help us and give us patience at this time. Some countries, as you may have heard, and even some provinces here in Canada, are thinking of lifting the restrictions now. So let's be patient. Let's do our part so that can happen sooner. I want to read you a quote from Max Lucado. He said this in his book, You'll Get Through This. The book says, or what he says, you'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. But God will use this mess for good. Don't be foolish or naive, but don't despair either. With God's help, you'll get through this. That's a really good reminder, isn't it? That we will get through this. You and I and all of us together doing our part. So I think that's part of what the disciples needed to remember. So I have a question for you, and you can comment on the Facebook event. What is the first thing you will do when the self-isolation restrictions are lifted? What is the first thing you are going to do? And so, yeah, give us some feedback on that. Who are you going to visit? Where are you planning to go? Are you going to go on a trip? Or are you looking forward to going back to your work site? Or what exactly, what is the number one thing that you are thinking to do when these restrictions are lifted? So let's go to our story, but let me pray. Dear God, I pray that today, this morning, you would speak to us from your word. Encourage us in this season. And Lord, as we wait for this outbreak to be over, that we can have a more normal life, please prepare us for that. Help us and give us patience. I ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the first story comes out of John chapter 21, verses 2 and 4. Some time had passed since Jesus' death and resurrection. We're not sure. Jesus hadn't gone back to heaven yet. So somewhere in those 40 days before he ascended to heaven, and the disciples have gone back to Galilee. That's where they grew up. That's where they hung out. That was sort of more or less where Jesus had his ministry base. Or a lot of the time, that's where he spent it. So they're going back there. And one of the interesting things is that there's a number of them, but the Gospel of John tells us that Peter said to his other disciples, I'm going fishing. And the other disciples said, we'll come along with you. And I think that one of the challenges that we face when we go through a storm, when something that really shakes our lives and the foundations of what we believe, one of the easiest things we can do is we can try to go back to whatever it was before. This is the thing that Peter and the disciples did. They haven't been fishing for three and a half years, but this is what is normal to them. And sadly, they were not doing what Christ had asked them to do and what Christ had died on the cross and empowered them to do, the reason why he had come. And instead of doing what God called them to do, they had gone back fishing. You remember that at some point Jesus used this analogy for them, because many of them were fishermen. He said, I will make you fishers of people, to take people and invite them into my kingdom. So they But the story tells us that they fished all night and they caught no fish. So you see, they fail at what they were really good at before. They fail at what they were really good at before. And I think that part of the reason was because that was no longer their life's calling. And when this situation is all over for us, I do not know what we have to go back to. But I encourage you to already begin to prepare your mind, stretch your mental muscles so that you can be adaptable, you can be nimble, you are ready for the changes that will be a more long-term result of what we are in. I think that the disciples failed that part. Really great part of this story is that as they are frustrated, as they haven't done they haven't caught any fish, there's been no success in all of this, Jesus shows up. Jesus is on the beach, he's got a little fire going, and he invites them. He says, hey, come, let's have some breakfast. And so there's a whole story that develops out of that, and they can't believe that Jesus is there, because Jesus actually spoke to them while they were still in the lake and said, hey, throw your nets over to this other side. And they were fishermen. They were experts. They knew what they were doing. There just were no fish. But I think Jesus wanted to see, listen, if you do what I ask you to do, if you obey me, then you will have success. Life will be different. And so there's a miraculous catch. And then Jesus and his followers, that we call them disciples, they had breakfast together. And of course, there's other stuff that happens there. Peter is recommissioned to the work that he'd been called to do. And three times, Jesus commissions him and speaks to him again. So it's a great story. But the key, I think, from that story is for us to be reminded that going back to what things were like before isn't necessarily the best. Second story comes out of the previous gospel, gospel number 3, written by Luke, a physician. This is in chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Again, I will not read it. It is in the scripture. I will just give you the highlights of it, but you can read it for yourself. First of all, it looks like this is happening maybe on Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday after Jesus' resurrection. And two of the disciples, one of them is named Cleopas, the other one is not named. They're walking from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus, about 7 miles, so I don't know, 12 kilometers or so. They're walking and they are in shock. They have been traumatized. They just can't believe the way things turned out. And Jesus, as he often does, he comes alongside and joins them. But they don't know. And I think that the reason they don't know that Jesus is now walking alongside is that they are too sad to notice. We do that sometimes in life, don't we? We have Jesus alongside of us and we're like, where is Jesus? Why hasn't God done something? What is going on here? And so they haven't realized it's Jesus that is walking with them. They're talking about, this is a paradox. They're talking to the risen Christ about the crucified Christ. They're telling him stories of himself, of what he had experienced, of how things look like from their perspective. But they don't know that they're talking to the same Jesus. And so he asks questions. And they're like, what? Are you like the only person that doesn't know what just happened this weekend? And Jesus says, hey, tell me more. And so he begins to speak to them. And he teaches them, the Bible says, but they can't hide their disappointment. They were very down-faced, is what scripture says, that they were very down-faced. They were just completely discouraged. And so they can't hide their disappointment, because in verse 21, as they're telling Jesus what happened to him, of course, Jesus is fully aware of what happened to him, just like he's fully aware of what's happening to us. And he says, they say, but we had hoped. We had hoped. And if you read between the lines, what they are saying, that hope is gone. It's shattered. It's destroyed. This is so sad. We can't believe what happened to him. And so Jesus, the Bible says that he took the Old Testament and began to teach them to see that everything that had happened to him, of course, they still don't know it's him, but that everything that had happened to him was exactly what the Bible said would happen to him. And so as they are nearing their town, and as they're going to probably leave the main way to take the little side road to get to Emmaus, Jesus pretends that he's got a further way to go. I think this is a very interesting point, that Jesus wants to be invited into our lives. He's there. He will always be there. But there's a dynamic, something that changes, that happens in our lives when we actually consciously, purposefully make him a part of our lives, invite him to be part of our lives. So they invited him, and I don't know how long it took, but he obliged, and he went with them to their one of their the houses that belonged to one of them, and they are sitting there, and as they are about to eat, and of course this scene has a lot of the same emotions, and I'm pretty sure as we read it, the first thing that we think of is the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples before he was arrested, because he says that he took the bread and broke it. And as soon as he did that, they noticed who Jesus was. And as soon as they noticed, Jesus disappeared. And so they said, wow, didn't something burn within us as Jesus was teaching us, as he was telling us the scriptures, as he was encouraging us? Wow, this is really amazing. So after having walked 7 miles, 12 kilometers, they up and go back to Jerusalem, and then go and find the rest of the disciples, and they tell them, you won't believe what happened. We've met Jesus again. And they recount everything that he's gone, that he said to them, and so on. So I want to tell you 3 things that I think we should avoid after the storm. 3 things not to do whenever this thing is over. Number one, please understand that the world has changed significantly in these weeks. We're not going to go back to whatever it was before. It will be very different. Be mindful of that. Don't expect that we're just going to go back to the same thing, the same way things were at before March 15th. They're not. Your place of work is going to be different. The economy is going to be different. The challenges that we face as a province, as a country, as a world, as families, as individuals, they're very, very different. So please realize, tell yourself again and again, as I do, Gil, it's not going to be the same. Gil, it's not going to be the same. Gil, it's going to be different. Prepare yourself for that. So that's number one. Number two, as we see in Luke 24, don't do what these 2 disciples had done, walking around, their faces cast down, and their hope shattered. Do not give up hope. Do not give up hope. Don't give up hope in yourself, your ability to make it through this. Don't give up hope on God and his, it may not seem like it, but he is in control. He has got this covered. He's got you. He is not worried about the outcome of this. And despite the fact that those that lead us, our elected folks, they do not, they don't have all the information they like to have. They're not without fault. They are doing their best they can. So we can also, keep that in mind. But don't lose hope. Don't lose hope in a God who's in control. And number 3, in verse 25 of Luke 24, when the disciples had explained to Jesus what had happened to him and why they were so disappointed because things didn't work out the way they thought they would, Jesus makes a comment, a sad comment really about them, and I hope he doesn't do it about us. But he basically tells them, don't do anything foolish. Don't be foolish. He says, oh, you foolish people, how long is it going to take you to figure out that this is how things were supposed to work? So in our lives, let's not do anything foolish. In this time, it's time for self-restraint. It's time for self-control in our lives, our everyday lives, in our relationships, in our finances, in our work, and everything else. So let's not do anything foolish. Those are the three things, again, to not do after the storm. Don't go back to what it was before. Don't lose hope. And don't do anything foolish. I do want to close with two things that we should do after the storm. When this is all settled and when we have, the restrictions are lifted and we can have more mobility and so on, more socializing, more opportunity to hug somebody, to have the neighbors over, to go to someone's house for a barbecue, a meal, whatever. First of all, believe the good news. Believe the good news. As Jesus is telling the disciples, listen, what happened to me is exactly what was supposed to happen to me. So believe the good news. And you know, there's a lot of promises in scripture that have to do with God being with us, God being faithful, God providing for us, God never leaving us or forsaking us, that he can turn our bad situations for good, even for our own lives and for his glory. So believe the good news. Tell yourself again and again, I believe. I believe. I believe the word, the Bible. I believe God. I believe that there's good coming. I believe that God will work things out. I believe. We need to believe in a great God. Our belief can be small if it's in a great God. So number one, believe there is good news. And number two, invite Jesus into your journey. Isn't it wonderful that these two disciples, as sad as they were, as disappointed as they were, as hopeless as they were, maybe without knowing it, they invited Jesus to come home with them, to spend the night, to have a meal. And can I tell you, you can invite Jesus into your life, into your journey, into your home, into your self-isolation, into your working from home, into your home having kids doing school online, into I can't visit my relatives, I can't see my parents, all of those things. Invite Jesus into your journey. It's something really great that you can do. And the storm will end one day, so prepare yourself for the new normal. And it's going to be great. I promise you that it will be, because God will be with us. I want to close by quoting Max Lucado's quote again that I said earlier at the beginning. You'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. But God will use this mess for good. Don't be foolish or naive. But don't despair either. With God's help, you'll get through this. May God bless you and fill your heart with hope, your mind with great thoughts, and may your situation, whatever is going on, may you find great joy in knowing that God is good and he'll work this out for his good. Thank you.